Hi, I'm Andrew Middleton, and this is the Learning, Teaching and Assessment in Higher Education podcast from Sheffield Hallam University in the UK. Welcome to Programme 14, Research Voices. I'm late with the podcast this week, but I'm not too concerned. I love my job, trying to unravel and develop new ideas to make learning better. Better is an odd word. I used to say enhance learning, and someone said, "Don't you mean make learning better?" And yes, actually, that's exactly what I did mean. A large part of that is about making it more relevant and more engaging, finding new ways to interest and motivate students, especially when that important subject matter may be a touch dry, and that's what really drives me on. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been steaming ahead with some ideas, sitting there at my PC or desperate to get back to it because it feels like everything is falling into place. So, you may ask, what's been falling into place? Ideas about audio, that's what I'm working on at the moment, and specifically podcasting and how it can be used in higher education. I'm not going to go into that now in detail. That can be saved for later. But today I did the opposite of going from the frying pan into the fire. I went from being happily desk-bound to happy to be talking and listening to people. And that reminds me why audio is such a powerful medium. To hear people talking about what they do, know and love is very rewarding. To hear about difficulties, problems and challenges from the mouths of real people is also very rewarding and very engaging. Today I went to meet Richard Lynch, a lecturer in criminology, who has recently discovered audio and decided to use it in his teaching. Here is a recording of the brief discussion I had with Richard.
The use of audio came out of this teaching and learning fellowship project to do with teaching research methods. So one of the things I wanted to do was make research something that was accessible to students, and you know, the dry textbook accounts or even the journal articles are very much written in an academic format, which doesn't really necessarily relate to students' experiences. For me, it was about getting something that would make research more accessible. And then I picked up this idea from some reading I'd done that in the good old days in an old university, new undergraduates would interview for one of their courses all the tutors in a department. That they'd interview the tutors in groups of two or three and record what the tutors said, and that would be their introduction to research through their own tutors. So this got me into thinking about, well, why don't I use audio recording to capture the voices, the research voices of staff, and then present them in a way which is accessible to students in terms of MP3s, and they have this available to them, and certainly it's available through Blackboard, so they can hear some research voices rather than simply the only way of accessing it is through reading, which is good. Reading is good and it's essential, but this just gives another dimension. It's a way to maybe motivate them.
So will the audio lead the students to reading further on this, or do you think it's sufficient, you know, the clips you've got, the interviews you've carried out?
They do need to read journal articles and get into the formal recording of research that's in a journal article. But I want to have, you know, the interview of me, cut it up into the different sections, and then put up at the end the research article, published article. So then they'll hear the voice, and then they'll see how the research really happened, and then they can read the article. That's ideally what I want to do.
Yeah, I thought one of the interesting things for me when I listened to these audio files was that there were two voices acknowledging the fact that everyone's experience is different, and it's worth listening to as many people as you can about particular issues to do with research methods. You then supply some prompt questions so that not only are there some things here for you to listen to, but while you're listening, think about these things here. And the other element you've added there were references to further reading. So I really like the way that you've used audio in the virtual learning environment as part of a package with quite a tight focus. Have any students actually used the audio files yet?
Yes, I mean, just in terms of the classes that I teach, this is only literally being used by the students for the last 3 weeks. I've asked, have you used them? And yes, they have, and I play them at the beginning of the lectures I've done so far. I just literally click on it and then have them playing, you know, the first 5 minutes when people are arriving and sitting down and chatting. I just have them in the background. And I've introduced them. So they are starting to use them. What impact that is having, I'm obviously going to discover as the semester progresses.
And do you know if there have been any technical problems?
Not as far as I'm aware.
I suppose one of the things about audio, as with any media, including text, is the issue of accessibility. Have you considered whether this is going to create any difficulties with your students?
Well, there's a student with a visual impairment who can click on web links using the assisted technology that she has, assistive software that she has for the technology. So I'm assuming that it's all okay because it's like any other file. Certainly, a student with dyslexia who's heard some of the nuggets quite like them. As in, it wasn't just
text. They're the video nuggets.
So it'd be the same thing that people who have difficulties processing information in a text-based way. You know, if you're doing it visually or audio in an audio way, then that's a different way of they would be processing it in a different way. So I'm assuming that it's okay, but I will need to obviously check with them. Yeah.
Presumably, for the student you've referred to there with visual impairment. It's probably a bonus.
Yes.
Because the audio files are fairly short, if you had a student with hearing impairment, then presumably providing some alternative approach would have to be considered.
It would do. I mean, in a sense, the alternative is the research report. But yes, they would lose out in terms of what I'm providing is the authentic researcher voice. How else could I present that other than a tape? I guess a transcript of that might be a way forward, but in a sense the audio is what you're capturing.
I don't ask this because I know we've already had a conversation about it. How time consuming was it for you?
Yeah.
One in listening back to the interviews and deciding what to use, but then technically doing the work as well.
Learning to use Audacity was very difficult. Part of that is to do with me being a stubborn old sod who didn't want to go and ask for help because I feared showing myself off as being technically incompetent. But when I did ask for help, it was certainly there from AV and he was certainly very encouraging. So it took me longer than maybe it would have done if I'd been quicker to ask for help. I worked out an idea of how I might cut up the tape into the different segments, but I got stuck and it proved, I tried lots of different things and I just wasn't getting anywhere. So then eventually I learned how to do it, but then I actually did it, as in listening to a 15-20 minute tape. It took me hours and hours the first time, I don't know why, but it did. And then the second one took me 3 hours, albeit I was sitting watching telly as well. So it took me longer, but I do realise that the first time it's going to take a bit of time and that it'll get quicker and quicker.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things there that anyone dealing with any research interviews or audio interviews, it's a linear media, isn't it? And it can be quite time consuming to go through something and decide which bits to use and then work out how you're going to mark that down somehow. So it can be a bit of a process, but I think we all tend to find our own ways fairly quickly of both using the technology and also identifying the useful parts of the audio.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for sharing that, Richard.
That's okay. We'll be right back.
Just to be clear, Richard just referred to working with tape. In fact, Richard recorded the interviews that he conducted using a portable MP3 recorder, and in fact he was referring to the digital editing process in Audacity that he had found slightly tricky on the first couple of times he attempted to do it. I really like the way that some people, even when they don't feel that much of a technologist, you know, are prepared to take those sort of risks and explore what for them is going to make their students' experience better. I find that really rewarding. So Richard there has explained one or two difficulties that he's had, but he's looking well beyond that and looking at what's working, and I find that very inspiring. Well, thanks for listening, and if you have any ideas you would like to discuss in this podcast, then please do contact me at lta-podcast@shu.ac.uk, or you can leave an audio message on the show notes website. Just plug in a microphone and go to the show notes at http://lta-show-notes.blogspot.com. I would really like to hear from you and hear what your voice sounds like, so please take a bit of a risk and leave me a message there. In the meantime, thank you very much for listening.